weiter geht es jetzt bei uns. Ja, erstmal geht es weiter auf Englisch. Yeah, the next talk will be in English. And it's about building the CCC camp of 2019. But in a game engine. So it's going to be a 3D world where people can interact, but not in 2D like in the Work Adventure, but in 3D. It's a project by Richard McFly, and they're going to show us basically in-game or in the engine how this is working. And the main thing, this this is a chaos experience. So it's a call to join. It's a call to all the communities to build their own assemblies like they did on the camp. So we do have a playable level in the end with all the different villages. It's a Unity project, so that's an open source program everybody can use, and you can use, for example, Blender to build your models. So that's free as well, and it's definitely worth learning because it's one of the stronger 3D programs by now. And so, yeah, I'm switching over to Mitchell McFly. Welcome.
Okay, I think we're on. Hello. I think we are now over. The stream has a bit of delay, so I got this nice introduction from Meepunk a bit delayed. Hi, I'm Les McFly. You might know me from many ways, from one or another camp or conference or something else in this relationship. And I have seen Rich seen building the game, and we came up the idea to make the mod. And hi, Rich. Do you want to introduce yourself? You've traveled with Milliways in the past. Okay, so, but yeah. Slides not changing at all. I think the LibreOffice has crashed. Awesome. There we go. Off grid. You already gave an idea of what off grid is. How did you get the inspiration to that in real quick? We needed to make a quick stop because I can't hear you yet. Yes, and now I hear you double. Okay, can you try again if we can now hear you? Yes, let's try that again from there. Can you now hear something?
No.
Yeah, I guess it's a bit chaotic at the moment. Can you speak? Then I see the pig.
Yeah, I can. I want to sort of say stuff, but not relevant stuff that I'm then going to forget to repeat. So I'm trying to come up with things off the cuff.
You seem to be on there now. Okay, let's get back to this.
Cool.
Thank you, Ipan, for feedback. Thank you, feedback.
My name's Rich Metzen. If you missed this, the intro bit, or I was silent during the intro bit, my name's Rich Metzen. I'm one of a small team of 3.5 developers making Off-Grid. We're just a little independent team, and Off-Grid is our first independent original game, having contracted for various other people over the last few years. Off-Grid's a game about activism, information and disinformation, and data and its prolificacy. And McFly, your slides are down at the moment. Do you know that?
Yeah, I'm.
There we go.
No, what we have to do this right now this way. The full screen mode seemed to not work nicely together with the. We only have some few slides anyway. Okay. Mostly of that will be demonstration and that works.
So to praise the long story, because I'm not very good at TLDR when people ask me things like, what's your inspiration? But Off-Grid was kind of born around about 2011, beginning of 2011, before a lot of the Occupy stuff had kicked off, but just as a load of the Arab Spring activism was starting within Anonymous and various people around it. And so I'd actually seen a talk at INET conference, which is a kind of dull internet protocol forum, really, that had a lot of kind of very deep technical talk. But there was also a guy called Evan Moglen talking about how we'd lost the war for the internet, and how, although it started as an open source project and we'd built Python, we built Perl, various stakeholders were taking it over and taking it from us. And he kind of did a rallying cry to people to get involved in open source projects and try and fight the ever commercialization of the internet. He kind of, a couple of years later, then said it was all over and there wasn't much point in trying anymore. But hopefully his message has continued to evolve. And that moment really kind of set me in gear for trying to make a game about the loss of the internet to private interests, and the idea of trying to make a game about regaining control of the internet. It's set in a near future dystopia, kind of like a tomorrow if different kind of setting, whereby a lot of activists are being preemptively arrested, and that's where the story sort of starts, with you playing a kind of everyman, a bit of a noob, really, someone who doesn't really, well, not even a noob, a complete technophobe, whose daughter is a potential hacker or hacktivist. And she starts to get herself in trouble, and you have to learn about the internet and its dark underbelly in order to work out what's going on.
Let's really look into that real quick, because we have something prepared there. Let's see if it works.
Yep. Fingers crossed. There we go. That looks like that's working. So So there's no sound on that, but if you keep it playing, I can explain what's going on if we need.
Hey, Dad.
Essentially, this is your daughter. You're cooking breakfast for her first thing in the morning. Actually, E-Punk could probably tell you whether the sound is working for the rest of the people watching.
Come on, I'm hungry.
Yep. As you can see, it's a normal day. Jen's at her cubes box, messing about. You're dropping her breakfast, and she says, "Happy birthday, Dad. I got you something."
I got you something.
And you're like, "Oh, great. That's lovely." You open it up, and she's like, "Yeah, they're not the fancy ones, but the OS is open source."
Not the fancy ones.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm probably just ruining it by talking over the top of it then. Well, if the sound works, I'll shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, and look, I set up all your favorite apps, so if you turn on Bluetooth, they'll come right up.
Bluetooth? Huh. Yes, I see.
Yeah. Just push right here.
Oh, okay. I see. Jeez. You mean the world to me, darling.
Freeze! Jen Harmon, you are under arrest. Please do not resist.
There's been a mistake.
Your daughter getting arrested.
Don't
what are you
yep.
doing?
That's the agent
Jen,
pushing your breakfast
I'll
off the table.
Stay back,
for no
sir.
Reason.
This, sir, is a national security letter. Under the Official Secrets Act, it is hereby a crime to talk or communicate about this incident. Your daughter will be in processing for 90 days. We'll call you.
Okay.
And that's that, really. That's the setup for the game.
That's the setup. Good. So let's talk about a bit about the technical parts also, because the idea is to integrate. The original plan was to integrate Milliways in there, but mm-hmm. now it comes to the game. So the game. The game's built on Unity.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I write here, Unity can be free, asterisks.
Yeah.
It means the version that you need for editing the level and the map files and so are free.
Yeah.
You might have to register.
Yeah, Unity is unfortunately, it's free as in gratis, but not as in Libre. But it's a commercial engine, and for us, the choice was trying to make a game, although this has been a long project, that kind of was as commercially sound as possible, because we want it to kind of be marketed and put out there as a game that anyone else would consume kind of unknowingly, knowing that it has those deeper layers of activism and threads around the real things in the world.
Good. Okay, but the real talk is actually about the game mod. So
yeah.
I told you already the plan was to put the Milliways into the mod in some corner in there, and then the CCC camp happened, because that was actually after the camp, and we decided to started on the camp building the Milliways CCC camp, which
yeah.
results in Milliways has nice pictures, Milliways has a half up-to-date overview, and all of the other things, but very quickly that escalated and turned into a mod being more the whole CCC camp.
Yeah.
So this is how it looks as a screenshot. Some of you might remember this, and I hope that I'm already creating some memories for some people at this point. Yeah. So the goal for us of the mod is that we want to have a virtual CCC camp in Unity where we can walk around. It really works very well of creating those feelings again of this point of like, oh, nice memories, right? In this game, you will have electronic devices that you can interact with. Some of them have been on the camp, Some of them are new. And we actually at some point thought, well, let's get all of the villages in there, or at least the villages that want to be in there. So we needed to have a plan how to get everybody in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened was you started to make the Millerways mod and we were putting it onto the, well, we live streamed the initial build of it, and various people at camp, the Scottish Embassy and Garaffle kind of saw what you were up to and wanted to get involved. And then in the kind of live streams we did post camp, we just started kind of adding people's villages in and collecting people, collaborating on stuff. It was kind of quite organic like that, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Garaffle specifically is a village that kind of helped us making some pressure there and getting things going. So thank you, Garaffle. So yeah, as you see, we want your villages in there when you want. And we need something for that. And that point is that the camp is in general rather badly documented on how, on where which tent was and information that you need to recreate a believable image. And some of this is just in your images, because there's a lot of villages that plainly didn't take any pictures at all because their photo policies disallowed it. So yep. We basically would like to some way tap your memories, if we can find a way how to do that. And for that, we have actually come up with two possibilities. The first one is the path that the Graffle village took. It's slower. It requires us to sit on Jitsi. And it basically means I will export my desktop to you via the Jitsi. And you tell me, no, that tent needs to go a bit more over there. And that thing needs to go over there. That works well with non-complicated villages where all the models that you want to use in a 3D world, I'm showing you what I mean in a moment, already exist somewhere for us. So if you're using normal tents, normal SG40 tents, normal rented tents, have the common pavilions, have the common desk, beer taking, and all the other stuff, all of that is easy because we don't really need to build models. We just need to put the existing models at the right place. It basically requires us, but it abstracts you from all of the part of having to do all of this documentation by yourself. Like tending to you with the gits, the license, the keys, and all of this. The possibly B is a second possibility. It's you build your own village. That is, on the long term, faster because the scale's better, but it's also more complicated. It does not require us to basically sit there with you the whole time and did something. It allows you to do it yourself. And that is the best way, specifically if you have a more complicated village, want to make this more a group thingy, like you want to do this together, or you're using models that don't exist yet. So that first have to be built in Blender or Cinema4D, like Epunk, who introduced this very nicely in the beginning. Did the seabase part, and he built all of the buildings in Cinema4D. And yeah, that is that best way. If you check out the Git yourself, you get a development key from us. You can just ask me. I think that's less complicated if we send everybody directly to Rich. So I will have development keys for people to hand out, and if they contribute significantly to this mod and add their own villages.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think that's the part now where I think we should just have a look how it looks. So that is the Unity that now needs a second to reconnect when the circle is over.
One of the things that I think's always nice for you to show is the starting point, if you can, which is that satellite image that we got from I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, that's a bit difficult to get in now because I didn't prepare that.
Oh no, it's in there already.
Oh, right. I just need to put in the layer, right?
Yeah, you just need to allow the layer to show.
Unity does take a bit of time to allow me to do something. Now we're talking.
Yep.
So, where was this layer again?
It's in the Zuglypark layer, I think. And there's a something called map, an image or a layer called map.
Let's zoom out to something that most of the people do remember. Map.
There you go.
This is the map and the overlay. It's a bit hard to see, but you can see it. It's something that we made to help us to put all the objects at somewhat the right place. It at least contains the old images for the right buildings at the right place and all of that. So, yeah. In this world, I'm taking the map away in a second because that's an overlay that is like 2 meters over the ground. And as you heard, one of the villages that has been built in the beginning was the Milliways. So you have this walk around possibilities here at the moment. And this is basically the different objects that we have here. Some of them can be controlled. This thing, for example, is a beer tap together. Like, this is actually something we might want to explain. I don't know if any of the people sitting in this talk now have been at Milliways, but this is the beer tap at Milliways. And we have put next to it the beer tap from the SHA 2017, which was from the Amsterdam people. This is in a server rack, and this is nicely interactable with. So you can define a point, and point of interest is what's called, right?
Yep.
And then you can connect some scripting and other stuff to that. So this is supposed to be an IoT tap, which kind of it tries to give the impression. And so you can play around with that. There's further things standing around there. We have a computer here with some other interest points, and we had several devices that really were in the camp. But yeah, for the memories, for the people, this is the Milliways. But there's more, and you've possibly seen that. And it's possibly easier. Actually, let's do this. Let's just build a level. That takes a moment. So it's as you see, most of the fields are still green, purely based on the point that most of the villages aren't there yet. Waiting for Unity to react. Yeah, that's the process of building a level. I press the button, and then you can't do really anything anymore anyway for 30 seconds.
Pray to the demo gods.
Pray to the demo gods.
There you go, it's building.
Yeah. The world is empty. The wall is full again.
So what McFly is doing here is he's got a copy of the game that he's linking the Unity mod build directly to.
So.
And now it's dropped his player into his mod.
So that is what we have so far.
This is private property, mate.
We've got McFly walking around.
That are still an agent. Over there is a lorry, and you can program yourself and the people to be able to interact with. You already see the possible view of the two devices over there.
If you go to Lowry's techno trolley, which Lowry's famous for pretty much being inseparable from, it's a massive speaker on a stroller.
It's not here anymore.
No, it's over by Lowry so that you can see it more easily.
I think I can even switch on music.
It looks like Jake's working as well. Jake is walking around now. So there you go. You switch on Lowry's speaker pram and he starts doing a little salsa dance. There we go. Lowry's doing it in real life in the background too.
Yeah, and...
And Barrett, I can't get him to walk around at the moment. I think I worked out why. It's because I didn't put coffee in the game. you have to give all of the characters motivation, and Barrett's is set to coffee, and I'd misaligned how to set up that particular interest point. So, at the moment, Barrett is standing watching people use the beer tap, which it's unfortunate, really, but he's there.
Yep. I think
they're
also enabled, so they should be able to actually say something. So yeah, this is the Miniverse place at the moment. We got some people in there that's like, this is Barrett?
Yeah, that's Barrett. Yep, his hair's the wrong color at the moment, slightly light. And he stood still waiting for coffee.
Yeah.
Same with Biela.
Biela is also in the game, so she's also placed on the camp. And we have Lori, but before we go any deeper, I think let's have Jake is now working. There is a Lori here. And let's have a quick walk, because most of the other villagers want to add themselves to the village. Let's have a walk quickly on the campsite. I think Barrett and Lori might be the only people that are now on the camp that haven't been on the camp before. So, first of all, here's the Belgian hacker camp, hacker village, with the bus. Everything else here is still very green, because we'd like to fill that. Over here is the core tents from the sea base. So thank you, Epunk, for building all of those. And you see the sea base has, as we know, the sea base always very specific models. There is the antenna from the sea base. And this whole entrance was their own portal. And we'd like to get all of the other villages basically in there in the same way. So I don't know which village I'm running to at the moment, but we can clearly add it. Let's quickly sprint over to the Graffel village, because that is also there. And the Graffel should be mentioned there, because they are the ones that actually pushed us over. There is the speaker talks. This is not the nicest tents yet. The one at Billyways even has... an inside yet that can be used properly, and that will be changed for the others too. So yes, here's the Graffel village. Yeah, they have a hidden tap, I heard, but I came over to the Graffel at some points and had this gigantic table of whiskey bottles over there, so we try to recreate that memory. Because I don't know, but when I hear the Graffel, then I'm usually thinking of some nice peaty whiskey. This is the cert that also exists already. It's still empty and the doors are at the wrong place at the time. But this is the easy fix. And as you'd see, the overall landscape, the general landscape is there. But what's mostly making this a living place is the villages.
Oh. Lowry's got a parakeet. We're going to have to add that to the game now.
This is Friedel, Techno, MC Pirate.
Let's go quickly over to back to the Milliways village, because on the journey you will actually see all of those nice places. You can walk up to the hill. I hope I will be able to put colliders in that you can walk up on the tower over there. But I'm not promising anything there yet. My personal goals, one of the next things to do would be the bar here. But that would require building some individual models. So yeah, it's the idea is to get the other villagers to jump all in here and help us fill the void and therefore create a gigantic level. What does this also mean? If people are really good with Unity, the level will be open source and can be reused.
Yep. Yeah, all the props and all of the models are all there for people to use in a share-alike fashion.
PLS at you, Hotel Coin. Yeah. And, so let me log in here, right?
Yeah, you can hack it. So you've got data view, which kind of shows up the data that is being used by different characters around the world, and you can SSH into various devices at different times as well, if you have sufficient access to the network or the device's credentials. So here we've got the beer server, which McFly is SSHing into. And it's got the users of that beer server. So McFly's been drinking beer, and it's been logging his favorite users of GermanBeerIsBest.com and Milliways.info. Lowry's been visiting Army Surplus Mining Gear. I think Barrett's been on Giant Bomb and Linux Gaming on Reddit. I think we've got a couple of his articles in that link list there as well. So the idea is, like, you can start to populate this world, and it's pretty thin at the moment because we've only really been doing all of the kind of physical surroundings, but you can populate it with interesting devices that have different interactions on them of varying interest. I mean, like, one of the things that I was hoping to get done this afternoon that I didn't quite get to was putting some files on some servers, like for instance, Barrett's got his memoirs coming up fairly soon, and I'm sure that there'd be maybe a chapter or two of that that could go on. That's some good reading. At one point, Lowry wrote a pretty good representation for his court appeal case that started with a Rickroll, which I think needs to be kind of somehow immortalized in gaming history. I think the opening line was, "Now is the winter of our disc contents." So the idea is you can kind of find interesting files throughout hacker history, zines, different kind of court depositions, different pieces of information that, you know, people might find interesting to dig around in. And they can unlock different devices or different conversations with different characters. So if you can kind of make this into a living world.
So if a village has a certain village originating documents that can then be in the village, or an FTP server in small, I guess, yep. Because otherwise everything explodes.
Yeah, you know, copies of POC or GTFO, stuff like that. I'd say. I mean, and this is probably a good point to bring in Lowry and Barrett, right? To sort of talk about their interest in how that might overlap. Do you think? Are you guys there? Have you got audio?
I think that was a cue, Barrett.
It sounds like it.
I can hear them. Can you
hear
them now?
No.
Yep. Hello? 1-2, 1-2.
I can hear them. That's yep. A good start.
I can hear you.
You just relay everything we say.
Not very good sign language.
Liberation Army.
I can hear you both.
Good. Cool. Well, Lowry and Barrett obviously didn't make it to camp, and that's kind of one of the reasons that we've got their characters in here, right? To make sure that hackers, activists, and folks who couldn't be with us at some of these events can also be there in spirit in the game after the fact, and talking about it.
Next time somebody does want to actually kidnap me and take me to camp, that would also be great. As long as it's against my will, it's fine.
Yep. I think there is a bad echo on us now.
Okay.
Okay, I can hear his plate, but I can't hear any one of them actually talking. But I guess when you can hear them, the others can hear them.
Get my headphones.
Should we use?
Have you guys got a set of earbuds that you could share left and right on or something?
Possibly on. I've only got a.
Yeah, but what's the case? Come on, only my right ear works.
The pig says, like OBS says, they can be heard.
Without an echo, it's okay. It's not got an echo.
You see those pagels from them.
Are you saying this expensive video conferencing software has less echo cancellation than Jitsi? Is that
potentially? Well, by expensive, we are talking about OBS, so it's still an open source project.
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was something vaguely
still subject to the same caveats.
Yeah.
I can hear you guys fine. I think the idea would be in the long run that everyone and anyone can add any sort of documents and interactions of interest around camp, whether that's devices of real historic purpose or fictional ones about interesting things that may or may not happen.
Gibson.
Yeah, exactly. We need some Gibsons. We need some fantastical devices. I mean, the other nice thing about the way that the devices are set up in off-grid is you can create particle effects and flashing lights and smoke and fire. So it's lots of fun to be had. For instance, we can make that beer tap when McFly is getting a beer actually spray beer all over him and change a value in his AI to say that he's covered in beer and he has to go and use the sauna to clean up or something.
Because wasn't that the game?
Not at this one.
There was a portable sauna at Shah, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think the Finnish had something like that.
Yeah.
We were going to get one for EMF camp, but it got cancelled.
EMF is next year, though, right now?
EMF is currently planned next year.
In this, the best of all possible worlds, where the UK government manages a pandemic, that's telling me.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we weren't thinking it would go on for this long. So there's only a few minutes left, so I mean it'd be nice to kind of get Lowry and Barrett's kind of view on the idea of a game where you can mod things like this in and why it piqued their interest. Either you guys up for elaborating along that line?
There's a number of uses I can see, especially now that I've seen a little bit more about how it works, to something like this. You know, number one, obviously, it's another method of distribution of materials beyond the conventional ones of media and social media and so forth. More to the point, it could also be used in the same way, I suppose, that Dropbox is in some cases, as a means of users who can mod, actually perhaps adding in, you know, information. You can then gamify the process of crowdsourced research by having participants go through large deposits of information that are already public, in some cases, but not utilized. I can think of a lot of examples of that. And actually, you know, to the extent that they could find, you know, elements in these documents. For instance, the 6 million Stratfor emails that have been public for about 8 years, a great deal of stuff still in there. I've come across a few since I've actually, in the last couple of years, I've had a chance to go look through them. There's still a great deal of things that as events proceed, as new names come up, and as we learn the significance of certain topics and individuals, there's a great deal to be found and processed. And so I've always been interested in the idea of making a game out of this kind of work because people enjoy games. And games have a different status, for better or worse, in terms of perception and in terms of law and in terms of all kinds of things than does, you know, other more traditional formats. So that's the first thing that strikes me. I'm also interested, as you know, from our talks, your Kickstarter stream, you and I, we talked about procedural generation, which I don't know how much you make use of it here. Procedural generation in general is, there's a huge potential there for designing and implementing non-intuitive structures, like network structures for collaboration. I don't know. I know that that's not an entirely crackpot idea, because I've talked to several people about it, including yourself and also some engineers in the U.S. over the last couple of years, and they all seem to think there's something to it. That would have to be something that someone else would have to hit the ball and run with, though, because that's as far as I can kind of think on the matter. And I'm sure Lowry has some interesting Finnish ideas.
Well, some of the views on that kind of thing that you could kind of you can kind of build quite a lot of stuff in off-grid because of the fact that it has a Lua framework on top of it. So anything that you can write in Lua, you can write in off-grid in some sense. There will have to be a kind of download any given mod at your own discretion caveat, because fundamentally most games have read-write access to your hard drive, and if you're downloading a mod that is running Lua, it is obviously sandboxed, but there are sandbox escapes and things along those lines. So
conceivably that could become part of the game, so people could try and create a mod that allows you to safely run snippets of other people's code by level of sandboxing, and then people could try and game that and exploit that, and so you have a kind of meta level of hacking via the interactions of different mods.
You also have a subgame in which you put in, let's say 10,000 documents pulled from a certain data trove in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And in the game, like, you have to figure out, so what is the connection between, say, Mueller and Flynn? What connects these two individuals? You'll find out in these emails. Those would be examples of something we already know, but we would use that as a means of getting around the problem with the press, not really being able to follow through on things very well, sometimes not wanting to. There's all kinds of ways that just often, that one can think of the nubs of these ideas. There's all kinds of potential here, I think.
So it's stated otherwise. How would you like it, Rich, if your lovely video game was subverted into a platform for increasing a clandestine insurgency against capitalism and the state? Would that be okay?
Well, that's the thing with making video games. You have to be prepared for the community to take it in any direction they want. So if it's that instead of drawing lots of penises everywhere, I think we'll plumb for that.
I can't guarantee they're mutually exclusive.
That's true.
Like, can I control my NPC and go into anyone's game and go up and say, hey,
you can put AI into the
NPC. I need you to call this reporter, this outlet, tell them. Anyway.
You can. Yeah, I mean, you can play as any character. So although we've got the main hero character as the playable character here, your NPC, Barrett or Lowry's, or any NPC anyone wants to make in this kind of low poly style that we have with the customizable characters, basically we can swap them in. So Barrett could be the one exploring something and then going to visit Lowry to get a conversation going about a trove of documents, stuff like that.
The other thing you talked about before, Rich, was the potential to use this platform as a way of bridging time and space in a kind of archivist sense. So you could go to the virtual EMF camp, the virtual CCC camp, and you could watch talks from historical camps potentially through the game, through the kind of streaming mechanism. And that allows people to, again, attend things virtually that they weren't able to at the time. And there's a lot of people that would like to sort of dip their toes into hacker culture who haven't been swept into it by the natural currents of their...
Yeah, the Second Life, there was something like that was done. We know it was events, actual that you could walk around and people were getting talks. And, of course, those were the first targets we had back in the 4chan /B/ days. So they got their toes dipped right into hacker culture without even... Not even knowing what's going to happen.
And I guess the other main point is that video games are rapidly, if they haven't already, supplanting traditional, more broadcasty, less interactive forms of media. It's the way that culture is elaborating and reflecting upon society. So having a game like this allows there to be a slightly more realistic, slightly less staid and cliched portrayal of hackers. Hackers in kind of films, it's just like a modern day version of a wizard. It's just a sort of lazy means to achieve a plot.
Was the wizard the Nintendo one?
The wizard the what?
The wizard? That was one of the Nintendo?
One of the Nintendo. With
Fred Savage.
Fred Savage?
There was another movie called The Wizard, where Fred Savage was the Nintendo competition. Win the big Nintendo fight.
I don't know.
Hold on one second. But you guys,
to complete the point that I was making, that some potential interesting elements that I've now forgotten.
Well, you're essentially saying that usually hackers are a plot bridging sort of character.
There's sort of more things to it than, oh, here's this person that you have in the crew that makes things happen by tapping on a keyboard. You know, it's the actual relationship that hackers have as people that explore the frontier of the potentiality of technology interacting with society, and in some ways bear a responsibility for the way that progresses. As you were talking about earlier, the internet that we had that we lost, because some people, not saying any of the people watching this, but some people got a little bit comfortable in the industry and allowed capitalism to swamp and take over and banalize the internet. But we are always on that frontier to the extent that you're exploring new ways that technology can be taken apart, put together, and made to do interesting things, then you are working on that frontier. You're kind of clearing the routes into which the future is built. And it's good to actually give people a taste of that in a participatory fashion, to actually see what it's like to build something to them.
I mean, I think off-grid's mechanics are all built around that notion of the pen is mightier than the sword and kind of information as the battleground and all of that kind of stuff. So it isn't just surface here. Like, anything that you want to make with data being a precursor to the interaction is going to be central to how the characters react and are manipulated. It's
an educational thing as well. So a lot of people still don't realize that we live in a data economy, that the most valuable global commodity that the economy depends on the flow of is now data. It surpassed oil and fossil fuels some time ago. And so for people to actually see through playing this game that what gives people power in a virtualized environment or a digitized environment is having a rich interaction with the data levels that are constantly flowing, and just seeing how much of an ability it gives you might give people a better appreciation for what they're giving away daily by not engaging in informed consent negotiations with services that they sign up to, except kind of strip mine up.
That was definitely an inspiration at the beginning of the game too, so that's a perfect place to round it off. I think McFly is ready to do the outro, because I think the session is about to finish. I'd like to say thanks to Larry and Barrett for coming on and kind of explaining a bit more from the hacker and activist perspective as to why it's interesting as well. So thanks, guys.
Moves are on, by the way.
So McFly, can you hear me? Are you, yes, you ready to do the outro?
Yes. So thank you all. Thank you for giving us the chance to introduce this real quick here with Nice Milliways part. There will be another talk tomorrow at 17:30, which now also is in the schedule, which is about sending postcards to hackers in jail, which is something that we usually do at Milliways and happened over there. And thank you for your time. It would be very nice if you reach out to me so we can add your village into this game and create an awesome living digital memory of the CCC Camp 2019 in this happier pre-COVID times when we still could meet each other, which sounds a bit weird right now, but okay. Then thank you all, you two too. Thank you, Rich, and wish you all a nice evening.
Happy RC3.
Hack the planet.
Yo.
Hack the planet.
Hack the planet. Yeah, that's the message. Thanks a lot to Mitch and McFly and guest and the guest parrot.
So is that...
Join the community. If you know some people who know their way around 3D, tell them build your own villages so... They will be realized in the next version of the off-grid game, and of course for the next virtual meeting. And we do we did change the program a little bit, so McFly will be doing his talk Mail to Jail, a project that you might know from Milliways. The talk will be tomorrow at 5:30 on the Seabase channel.